impossible that the coach told everybody else in class that, hey, one of you came to me to the academy, he wanted to become a sports star, and I told him four things are essential in your steps to the top in sports leadership. And then everybody wrote it down, but only one person did something with it. My understanding is that somebody here will do something with what we are here and now. This is so important. We were in some leadership little forum recently, and I said, some of you will think, look, he's just lucky. You know, this man is just lucky. And I said to them, if you will be as lucky as I am, you will be as lucky as I am. The luck is good. But for 10 years, I've been out of Canaan land 3 Sundays. For how many years? That's how lucky I have been. I'll tell you how many times I've gone on leave. Now, for 20 years in Lagos, I've been out of church on Sunday morning 10 times. Wherever I am in the world, I fly in, even if it's 4 a.m. in the morning on Sunday morning. Just to show how lucky I can be. Now, for 28 years, I have kept a work schedule that is not less than 16 hours a day. I'm really very lucky. Today, we have over 6,000 people in our employment that earn their monthly wages from the system. I'm really very lucky. You know, one of these great writers said, success is a matter of luck. Ask any failure. That's his conclusion. It's luck. But ask any first class student in school, and he will let you know his first class investment in his studies that resulted into his first class rating in class. Yonggi Cho was speaking recently, a few weeks ago, in South Korea to a group of people. And he was telling them what he did with his life the last 50 years. You never have a great story without a great price at the root of it. Everybody likes good cars, but it takes good money to have one. And in every country, including America, there are different grades of cars. You can buy a car for $500. And in the same country, you find somebody buying a car for $5 million. But they don't carry the same value. The $5 million car will start on its own for you at the command of a button in your bedroom. If wishes were horses, they say, beggars who ride. That boy picked up those things and went after it, and he got it. Now see, we also think, like I would say, you don't pray into leadership. Africa is a praying nation. I mean, I agree with that. Our cultural background makes us a praying people. The worshippers of idols pray. Now, the largest two religions in Africa is Islam and Christianity, prayer. But can you send a child to school who passes exam only on prayer? So when a child fails, what do? Sit up and study. Do you say, stand up and pray? You can't become a leader in your class by prayers. There is more to it. Prayer will help you to understand the work you are to do, but it won't be equal to the work. Does it make sense? I know most of us were strong people in the faith in school, but do we read or not? Don't you read? So there is no way to pray yourself into leadership. You know, one woman came to Jesus in Matthew 20 and was asking, I pray that one of my sons will stand by your right and the other one by your left, or the other children can sit anywhere else. And he said, you don't know what you are asking. They don't pray for it. They work at it. You know what I'm saying? They don't pray for it. They work at it. I told my son here when he called me this morning, he said, oh, I've not heard your voice. I said, yes, but you know, I've been working. He said, I know. Because they know I must work. You know, no matter how late it is, 3:30 in the morning, I was up to start setting the day up and getting myself together. And that's it. It's not just about wishing it to happen. It's about working at it. Now, Jesus also told the story. He said, I've come to set fire on the earth to give the world a new face. He said, and how am I straightened or stretched until it be accomplished? Luke 12, 49 and 50. So there's a stretching that makes a star. You stretch to make it. We used to have one great Nigerian in NBA, the National Basketball Association. Yes. And this young man had a challenge in one of the seasons that was becoming very obvious. And he couldn't get the basket at a particular range, so the opponent knew. So they keep him always off. And so he was losing ground and was going to fall out of the stuff. But he got a coach, and a coach put him on a particular kind of treatment of 500 throws per day. How many? For 6 months. You two try it. 500 throws per day. By the next season, he has broken the barrier and his star shot up. Now see, you don't do anything to fall. Just release yourself. You only do something to rise. Now see, we have a place in London. You can't access that floor without a key, but you can come down without it. So I told them, you don't do anything to come down. Just down, and you are down. Do you need to do anything to fail in school? Just do nothing. Go to class, watch them. Don't check the timetable. They say it's time for exam, just go. And then you get there and say, which subject are we writing today? You don't need to do anything to fail. You see, most times religious people don't do anything. They only wish they succeed. They just wish that they succeed. I say, Billy Graham, very lucky. Kenneth Hagin, super lucky. All those fellows are so lucky. You know, because they live in America. It's not like us. We live in Africa. Africa, what can we do here? That's why you see Africans who go through the desert and they die in their numbers to cross to Europe. They die on the high sea from Dakar. In their numbers, because they don't want to take responsibility to redefine their own place. I think we are here this morning to give a new definition to Africa. Yeah. How many believe that a new Africa shall emerge? Yeah. Where we shall have army of leaders in every area of human endeavor and in every nation. You don't pray into leadership, you pay into it. He said, which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost? So there's always a towerly cost for every tower. You can't build a tower by wishing. It's by paying the towerly cost that goes along with it. This is very important. Now, we also want to recognize that life is a race. And as a race, you need two legs to participate. Life is a race, and every participant requires two legs. to be involved. There is no way one-legged man can compete in a 100 meters race. No, we all need two legs to partake in a race. He said, don't you know life is a race and all that I need to run all and one receives the prize. So it is not just running, it's running to get the prize that makes the leader. There are eight people on the track and then they take one, two, three and then they say, oh, the others could go to wherever they came from. We are interested in only one, two, three. All others, thank you very much for coming. See you another time. So it is not, there's only one gold medal. It goes to number one. There is silver medal, it goes to number two. There is bronze medal, it goes to number three. So it's not that, okay, I participated. No. Did you win the prize? So it is the prize winner in every field that emerges the leader there. So life is a race. Paul was speaking, he said, don't you know that in a race, run all and one receives the prize, so run that he may obtain. Hebrews also said that we should run the race, I said before us, with patience. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Now, so there's a race that we are involved in. And every time you have a vision is a race. You remember Habakkuk said that he may run. So a vision is a race because you're not the only one that has a vision. So how well you perform in the race is what determines who emerges the leader. Does that make sense? Now, what are the two legs? And I'll quickly share them. The two legs are essentially capacity and character. What is it? Can I have us say it one more time? Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Let me glean it out from three. You see, there's a man by name Napoleon Bonaparte. How many heard his name before? Napoleon Bonaparte. He said something. He said, the Bible is not just a book. He said, it's a living force that creates its path when applied. Now, what that means is this. There are certain principles that you glean from scriptures that helps to create your desired future. Now, Moses was saying, Jethro was saying to Moses, if you want to accomplish this mission, then position people to share responsibility with you. But these are the requirements for those leaders. One, he said, look you for among the people, able men. Say with me, able. Now, the word able connotes capacity. He says, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. All those three equals what? Character. Able capacity. Such as fear God, men of truth. That means integrity. Hating covetousness. Who will not defraud? That means character, capacity, and character. Now, hear what he said about David in Psalm 78 and verse 22. He guided Israel by the skillfulness of his hands and by the integrity of his heart. 78, 72. Skillfulness, capacity. Integrity, character. Now, go down to Acts 6, 1 to 3. Seek ye among the people, men of honest report. What is honest report? What is honest report? Now, them full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. What is wisdom? Capacity. Those are the two legs upon which great leadership is built. Capacity and character. And then, not to mix the two together, they are not the same rating. Capacity is the principal, and character is the sustainer. Whatever capacity delivers, it is character that sustains. Does that make sense? So the two are equally important anyway, but it is capacity first that qualifies for leadership. If you want a driver, the first thing you look for is his capacity in driving. Isn't it? No matter how good looking he is, he must be a good driver. If he's applying brake anyhow and told him, take it easy. You are a good man, but this job can't be for you. So he needs capacity first to secure his place. And then character will help him sustain it. But no matter how good he is, you gave him money to go and buy fuel, fill the tank, he puts one quarter. I said, what's happening? He said, maybe the tank is leaking. And they check the floor, there is no fuel on the floor. Now, so for lack of character, he will lose value for his expertise. So it is two together, character and capacity. Capacity and character. Now, here we are in Africa today. There is gross capacity deficiency. Now, don't make a mistake. There are people in ministry today who have never read any book on ministry. Now, we are leading human organizations and we have not read anything on administration. How are we going to succeed? Capacity. Now, if you are traveling anywhere in the world on a long flight, may one Nigerian and one Ghanaian not sit together. They will talk from here to wherever they are going, from here to China, nonstop. They will talk and talk. Even when they sleep, the mouth will still be open. And when they wake up, they say, where did I stop? But you see, some other fellows from other developed countries, he sit down on his laptop, or reading, or drawing some plans, or working at some things, or sleeping. I have been in it many times, so I know what it is. Two Africans, dangerous, to sit with on a long flight. They will talk about everything about everyone. What of your children? Where are they? What did he study? Where did he study it? So what does he want to do next? Okay, my own children. Okay, one of them has just left school. The other one is going now. Now, there is no record of all those narratives. So as soon as they come down from the plane, nobody remembers anything. They have gone, and they may never meet again. But they have wasted all the time. He's going for business. There's no attention on the business. He's going for a conference, maybe to even speak there, but there's no attention. But he's very busy just talking. That is gross capacity deficiency. I mean, I must tell you this. I've seen quite a few people. I've met quite a few people. And I feel for Africa. How do you feel when you hear a man like Barack Obama speak? Don't you feel good? Are you saying there are no such fellows in Africa? That could be greater because he's an African himself. It's so important that we address these two issues before we can compete favorably in this new global world. We need attention on capacity development. And it's an individualistic responsibility. Everybody has to take on that responsibility to excel above his peers in the race. Capacity. Now, in a situation where we now have both capacity and character crisis, you can see we are fully amputated. We are not even allowed to align up on the track because the two things needed are off. Capacity and character deficiency put you off the race. Completely off. Agree, religion has helped to enhance character to a great extent. But it is not a substitute for capacity development. So these are the two great legs required to compete favorably in a global leadership race. In a global leadership race, capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. I've put up a module here that I called Leadership Covenant, and we're going to examine five of them this morning. Leadership Covenant. You know, a covenant is a deal built on well-defined terms and sworn to by an oath. That is, this is what you are to expect if you do the following. What then must I do to emerge a leader? Just like Paul was asking, the jailer was asking Paul, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to emerge a leader? Everybody has a leadership potential in him. That's why we are all in a race. Everybody. But what must I do for the leadership potentials in me to have expressions? What must I do for the leadership potentials in me to have expression? I have found five major steps that guarantees your access to the topmost top. We have some steps up this platform. And I'd like you to know, no matter how hard you pray, if I don't mind these steps, I'll never access that platform. Many of us are trying to access the platform without minding the steps. And so I developed that module to help people know what it takes to get you there. And just anybody can get there. Because everybody has the potentials to be there. And just anybody can get there. What then are these steps on the ladder? Because leadership is essentially task defined, vision is number one step in the school of leadership. Knowing where you are going is crucial in the getting there at all. Where do I belong? What is my field of play? Where is my discipline? Which career do I belong to? Now, that is number one gallant step on the ladder to the platform of leadership. I took this module essentially from Ecclesiastes 10, from one of the greatest leaders in Bible history, Solomon. And verse 5 to 18, he said, I've seen an evil under the sun as an arrow that proceeds from the king. I've seen fools set in high places and the rich men in low places. I've seen servants on horses and princes walking on foot as servants. And he went on this, he began to analyze what has happened that has reversed the situation. He that cleaveth wood, he shall diggeth a pit, shall fall into it. He that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. He that breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite him. That means a covenant was broken. that has put the servants on horses and princes on foot as servants. Even though we have potentials, potentials also differ from one level to another. You remember the parable of the talent? He gave some five, he gave some three, some two, and gives another one. And he gave to them according to their several abilities. So he has seen somebody with one capacity or one degree potential riding on horses and somebody with five going on foot because the covenant of assessing the top has been broken. Then he began to analyze what particular covenants were broken. Then in verse 10 he said, if the iron is blunt and you don't sharpen the edge, then you will need to put in more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. So the first broken covenant is direction. Lack or loss of direction. Not knowing where you are going. Lack of vision and purpose for life. So until purpose is defined, leadership cannot have expression. Everybody belongs to some specific places. Some will be in politics, that's where they belong. Others will be in industry, that's where it belongs. Some others will be in ministry, that's where they belong. Some others will be in business, that's where they belong. So everybody, some will be in academics, that's where they belong. Everybody belongs somewhere. And until where you belong is discovered, you are not on your way to the top. Most Africans are satisfied with survival. Very few look forward to impact. That's where we are, a continent that is made up of largely mediocres. Well, if you have food to eat and you send children to school, what else are you looking for? What is life? Sit down. People have gone to the moon. We have not conquered the earth yet. Now they have left the moon and gone to the Mars. We are still struggling with the earth. People have gone into space. We have not survived the air. You know, we have 3% aviation air utilization in Africa. And we have 40% of aviation casualties in Africa. What a paradox. Utilization 3%, accident 40%. That is the global record. People have gone into space. We are struggling with the earth. Africa cannot feed itself now. Except by importation of food from people who took seedlings from us most of the times. So it's so important for us to know that we need to know where we belong so we can recreate our continent in no time. Everybody here belongs somewhere. Direction. Direction. You must have a direction for your life where you belong. Define your field of play so you don't become jack of all trades and master of none. There are 3 ways to knowing where you belong, and I think I quickly need to do that. One, you either hear, you receive a vision from God. They call it heavenly vision. Like you have it in Habakkuk 2:1-3. You have Paul narrated that in Acts 26, verse 19. Or you discover a gifting in you. There is a gifting in you. Every mortal man on this earth has a divine endowment in his nature. There's an area which turns you on naturally. Does that make sense? No matter where you belong. There's something in you that turns you on naturally. It's a divine deposit at creation. Everybody carries a definite talent. So you either have a divine direction by whatever way you get your own, or you discover a gifting inside you, a talent inside you. Remember, he gave them talents and he said, occupy it till I come. So the talents can productively, impactfully engage you till the end of your life. And then number three, of course, there could be a passion. To discover a burning passion within you. Some of you remember the story of Martin Luther King Jr., right? Who fought this racial discrimination to his knees. It was a burning passion. Burning passion. An area where you desperately look forward to a change. Like Mike Murdock will say, your passion is in most cases a pointer to the problems you are created to solve.